Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and we're still in Tuscany, are we not?
We're in Tuscany, and starting out the program, two stories about two ladies who are quite singular in their achievements. One of them faced an enormous setback in her personal life, which you'll hear about in the interview, and we're going to start off with her, Daria Capelli, from a restaurant called La Porta in the tiny walled town of Montecchiello, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, not too far away from La Bandita, where we stayed, and a must-go place if you're anywhere in the vicinity.
Just inside the old city walls.
Because the food and drink was fabulous, and this is a wonderful lady. And right after our interview with Daria, we also include a short interview with the chef as well, because he's an interesting fellow in his own right.
I'm really thrilled to be here, Daria. It's Daria Capelli, and she is the owner and a very shrewd and compassionate woman, owner of a restaurant. It was in Montecchiello, which is Vicino Pienza, and the restaurant is called La Porta because it's right at the city gate. I'm really pleased to be talking to you. Your menu itself is full of wisdom.
Thank you.
You have on the cover of your menu some wonderful sayings. Tell us what this means.
So, il mondo cominciò con un peccato di gola. This is the world started when Eve committed the sin, eating the apple. She couldn't eat the apple, so the world starting eating, really.
And then the next one is?
The animals feed themselves, men eat, but only the intelligent man knows how to eat properly.
And here at your restaurant, you know how to make the food that enables people to eat properly.
That's right.
How old is your restaurant?
Okay, I started in 97, but at the beginning was just a bar, so I was serving coffee, cappuccino, tea, and wine. But I really enjoyed to serve food. So I also started to serve little food like carpaccio and cheese, all the little cuts from pork like ham and sausages, but everything was really very well presented. But then at a certain point, a policeman arrived in the bar saying that without a kitchen, without a proper license, I couldn't really serve food. Oh. So they said, you can only make panini. And so at that moment, upstairs in the restaurant, there was a little apartment, which was supposed to be for me and my daughters. So I said, no, it's better if we move the little apartment upstairs into a kitchen. So we did the special scale here. You see the stairs.
Yes. Right.
And we had the connection between the bar and the kitchen upstairs. And so in 1999, I started with a restaurant. And at the beginning was my mother cooking. She used to make
the
fish.
Mama,
yes. She used to make fishy, good ragu, a rabbit stuffed. Was very typical recipe of the area, like the pork liver. And tripe, and so we started in a very few guests arrived, and they came back the next year bringing other guests. So at a certain point, my mother couldn't no more. She had to look after my daughters, really.
Yeah.
So she said, okay, we have to look for a chef. And so the chef arrived in the year 2000, in May. He was here, Moreno was here. Soon my mother, he was coming from north of Italy. So he really didn't know too much about the recipe of the area. But my mother was a good teacher for him. And what is important is that Tuscan kitchen usually is quite heavy. A lot of olive oil, salty, pepper. So and Moreno, coming from the north of Italy, had a more light kitchen. So he has been very good mixing the two. So Tuscan recipe, but lighter.
Aha. So that's what we're going to be eating. I didn't want to skip over the fact that you have become very successful, and your very establishment or attempt at the business came out of a tragedy when you were suddenly widowed with two small children.
Yeah.
And your father took care of you for briefly, but then said, you've got to find something to do.
Yeah.
And you were trained in languages, but that wasn't going to support and your two children.
Yeah.
And so without knowing it, but with a great desire to make something wonderful, you opened this place.
Yeah.
I'm very, very amazed at how wonderfully you've done, honey. Yeah. It's such a well-regarded restaurant in the area.
You know, everything has been done with passion, really.
You are passionate.
Yeah. And also, in any case, the languages I studied helped me because not at the really beginning, I mean, in the year 2000, but in the next years, a lot of foreigners people arrived in the area. And so speaking with them was a very nice contact. And I also enjoyed of this. It was not that the simple job of somebody serving something, but helping people to choose the best and helping them with any problems they could have, calling a taxi or looking for a room. But this was much more than serving a dish, really.
Oh, yes.
Daria, you said that when you started out, one of the things that you did was you taught classes about wine.
Yes.
And this is very much a wine region. We're in the Tuscany region. Are we in the Brunello area, or are we we're close by?
But yeah, we're very near, but we are just between Nobile and Brunello. But here in this area, we also started to produce the new DOC of Orcia. I think that in a few years, the Orcia DOC will be well known everywhere because really, the wines are nice. They are based in Sangiovese, like the Brunello and the Nobile. And, you know, also the passion here, the people of the area have always made wine, even if we didn't know.
Yeah, in this visit, we are including a visit to the Cinelli Colombini winery, and they make two Orcia wines.
Yes, the Cenerentola.
One of which we call Leon, we drank at our first stop on our tour of Italy near Mount Amatia.
Yeah.
So people clearly are discovering this area, and savvy wine drinkers across the world are always looking for the new exciting designation that isn't quite as expensive yet as it will be when people realize how good it is.
Yes.
So is that what perhaps we'll be drinking with our food this evening?
Yeah, maybe, yes.
Maybe,
sure,
just
sure.
Maybe.
Yes. No, maybe, sure.
Well, I'm looking at this menu, and one thing looks better than the next, but one of your specialties is the Chianina beef. Which is here. I mean, people think of it as
I thought it was exclusively Val di Chiana.
Val di Chiana is just on the other side. We are just on,
right. But you grow the same beef here in Valdolcia, which is an absolutely smashingly beautiful view. And probably the best place to see it from is Pienza, listeners, just in case you're wondering. If you want a view down the valley from the top of the wall in Pienza, is a wonderful sight.
Yes.
It's easy to get to this place. It's a walled city. But you were, of course, called La Porta, and you write inside the gate. There's plenty of parking outside. Park and just a few feet in, and here you are.
You're right.
And now, how do people make you do reservations all the time? Is this
most of the people make reservations because it's so small. So, and as I told you, I just people coming or are sending other people. Also, you know, all the guides. I am in Italian guides, Italian book, and even foreigners. So, the reservation is really high recommended, especially if you want to have a nice meal outside in summer. And if it's raining inside, it's so small that
it's raining now. I'm happy to be inside. Yeah.
You will see that in a little bit, all the table will be.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, we stopped here at lunchtime just to make sure that our meeting was confirmed.
Yes, sure.
It was buzzing.
And at 3:30 in the afternoon, the dining room was still full with people enjoying themselves. Oops, there's a pop of something sparkling.
Yeah, some sparkling wine.
Maybe on the menu we'll get us gums around something like that very soon. But let's dig a little bit further into the menu.
It's not absolutely intuitive website, so I wanted to make sure that people knew that it was Osteria La Porta, osteriallaporta.it. And you can find out more about the hours of operation and the process for for getting reservations. And when you come here, you're going to want to, as I said, get something having to do with Chianina beef. You can get it as a main course. You can get it as a carpaccio. You have rabbit salad. What else is your thing?
The tortino. I think that Moreno can make very, very beautiful. Tortino is like a little souffle. It's always vegetables mixed with potatoes and little eggs and bechamel cream. And so each season we have the vegetables of the season. We can make with asparagus, with spinach. Now it's period of mushrooms. So we use
the mushrooms.
So it's
all seasonal, yeah.
Yeah, and all the tortinos always come with a cream of cheese, the pecorino cheese, or cacio, how it's called in Pienza, the cheese from sheep.
Local products.
Yeah, a lot of product. And it's covered with fresh truffle. We use truffle all the year. We know exactly that the best truffle comes in November.
Right,
the white
now,
truffle.
Actually, yeah. We were getting fresh truffles.
But we can get also from in the area black truffle, summer truffle, winter truffle, all the year through.
And you have, of course, everyone in the area has the chingale, which is the wild boar.
The wild boar,
which is good. We saw signs for hunters. I mean, do you have hunters really shooting the animals?
Cacciatori.
Cacciatori.
I think
my father is a hunter.
Is he?
I think some of these wild boar must be able to run pretty fast.
Yeah.
otherwise, the supply would start to dwindle. So I think it's sharpshooter versus fast-moving wild boar, and the wild boar sometimes wins.
Well, you know, my family, they were all hunters, too. I thought nothing of going into the basement and seeing a skinned deer hanging to age. You know, I mean, today they're now getting back to that, but for a while nobody knew where the food came from. Well, you're going to let us have a stab at talking also to your chef. How long has he been here?
He started here in the year 2000 when I started.
So he's
really
been here a while.
And then after 2-3 years, he said he left because he was in love with a girl in the north.
Always,
But 1 year after, he called me and said, Daria, can I come back, please?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because he said that this was the best experience for him because a small place, he could really, do his best and... He studied for being a chef, but he always say the best things is the practice on a nice place.
Uh-huh. Well, let's bring him in right now.
Chef Moreno Materle. See? Vero? Allora, you come from the north of Italy. Un passione di fare la prima piatta o pasta. Dica... De qualche pasta che
qui la
ma grammatica è terribile.
Qui la nostra pasta tipica sono i pici.
So the typical pasta of the area is the pici, so they all make spaghetti, less spaghetti but thicker, because they are hand roll, so not only homemade but hand roll, no machine at all.
And che tipo pici di aglione?
Aglione, che è un sugo fatto con del pomodoro ed aglio, semplicissimo, che è tipico, diciamo, qui della zona.
So the pici all'aglione is the typical sauce of the area. Pici are a very, very poor dish because no eggs in the recipe. So in the past, what's better to have than just flour and water? And also tomato from the garden, so it was really very old recipe, and I to make the tomato more tasting, they used to cook them with garlic and a little spicy, and this is very the traditional dish, but you see, and we must have them on the menu.
Always.
But then all the others,
anatra duck.
All'anatra, dopo qua non ci sono scritti, però facciamo il pici cacio e pepe, che è una cosa, diciamo, sempre qua della zona. E dopo facciamo i ravioli con ricotta e spinaci, con una salsa di mascarpone e tartufo, che sono molto buoni.
You will have this tonight.
Sounds great, sounds great.
So he said we have pishi with duck. I just had something. Most of our sauce are white, so no tomato sauce. apart from the fish alla leoni, all most of the other sauce are in white. I mean, no tomato.
Typical the area.
You know, this is something typical from Moreno. Okay. He always say if you had tomato to a meat, then what you feel is the acidity of the tomato, but you don't feel the meat could be anything. So when you come here and have your pishi with duck, you really taste the duck meat. If you have with beef, you really taste the beef. And also, you know, he likes to make ravioli really, and you do ravioli with so many things. What you're doing now is ravioli with spinach and ricotta cheese, and we serve them with a sauce of mascarpone cheese and fresh truffle. Mm, and yeah. What I said, you will try that tonight.
And, of course, we have the cinghiale, which is wonderful.
We have pappardelle with cinghiale, wild boar.
And then tartufo. I mean, are the tartufo... is tartufo... It's now the time, but you say you do it all year round?
Yes, we buy the truffle in here in the area, in San Giovanni d'Asso. Most of the truffle come from San Giovanni d'Asso. We still have the summer truffle now, but in a few weeks we will have the white. We may have some white now, but it's really very expensive. So if you come to a very simple restaurant like this, and maybe you spend about 50, 60 euro for a dish with tagliolini with truffle, it could be too much. So we have to keep the price for, on the range of the restaurant.
And you have qualia, and you have guanciale. We have everything here. I can't wait to just taste it all, chef. I can't wait.
Non puoi aspettare, ha detto, di mangiare.
Thank you very much for talking to us, and I look forward to tasting your food.
Ha detto grazie e non vede l'ora di mangiare.
And you have a wonderful boss. Grazie, grazie. Prego. Well, stay with us while we take a short commercial break. See you on the other side.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. We're on the menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and our next guest has a most fascinating history, which she will explain to you. And again, she's a very successful wine producer. I like her story because everybody always asks Rabbit about how we met each other from across the globe. And I found out how she met her husband. And she was in school in Aix-en-Provence. And he was someplace else in Italy, and they both volunteered to help after the Florence flood
of 1966, right?
Yes, and it was a tedious job trying to get these books dried, spreading the pages and putting the powder on it and helping to get it dry.
So I guess if you did that for a while, it's really not surprising that you finish up in the business of making wine, which certainly...
That's where they met.
Isn't it? I understand that. I mean, it's a natural projection from drying pages of books in Florence to having a winery in the Bulgari region of Toscana.
You mean
of
I'm
Toscana.
Wandering?
No, the link is the link requires a little bit of explanation, which the interview provides. Interesting story, and one that's going to get more interesting in the future as this winery grows and develops more.
It's good stuff.
Our guest has more than one interesting fact about herself. But Aminé Pakravan, first of all, welcome to On the Menu.
Thank you.
I was puzzling about how to introduce this interview because the reason that we came is that we found out about this winery, which is located 7 kilometers from Bulgari, the home of the famous Sassicaia. And we said, well, there must be another story here if there's another small vineyard, so we must go find out about it. And another very intriguing aspect of Aminé Pakravan is that the nation from which she comes drinks very little wine.
Very little wine. So, doesn't drink any wine at all unless they find the way to do so.
So how, as a starting point, did you get interested in wine in the first place?
Well, I like good things in life to start with.
And you thought wine was just
I
wine
thought
is just
wine is a very good thing in life. Okay. And then I I came to a country, Italy, which had very good wine and still has very good wine. It was really, really a very natural process.
But beginning to make wine wasn't something that happened when you first came here. You came here a long time ago.
Well, I came here a long time ago, and I was expecting my first child, and we decided that we were going to buy a property where she could grow up. So the property you've seen, it is a place where wine is absolutely happy to be. We waited for a little while because we were traveling the first years of our marriage, and then we settled down and we planted two very small vineyards, and the wines came out beautifully because the land, the soil, everything, the climate, everything is fine. And our friends started asking us to do more.
So you made wine on just a small scale to begin with,
a whole hectare, actually. It was less than a hectare.
Was there anything that drove the particular location that you bought, or was it just something that was available? You bought the farm that you now have turned into a vineyard.
I wanted to live in the countryside ever since I was a child. My husband was born and bred in the countryside, so it was the right place for him to be. And we wanted to raise our children in the countryside. The place where we bought was perhaps the most God-forsaken place on earth, because we only had the wild boar to keep us company, the snakes in the summer. It wasn't the best of places, and people kept thinking that we were completely out of our minds to do something like that. The little amount of money we had, we invested there. And eventually we started making oil, and then we planted in 1988, we planted the first hectare vineyard for our own consumption.
And you learned. That must have been a very fast learning curve for you to jump right in like that.
No, it was so pleasant. I think the plants in the vineyard suffered a lot from our inexperience, but they're still alive. They're still alive and making very good grape.
Yes, we've been tasting some of the wine. Okay. I was just about to ask, what were the first vines you planted?
We planted any old thing that was given to us by other agriculturals. We didn't know anything about wine, really. We didn't know about rootstocks. We didn't know about anything. We just put in the plants any old way, and strangely enough,
we got good grapes.
So we got very good grapes. But then starting from there, we began learning.
You don't encourage people to think that it's just that easy, because you worked very hard getting this started, didn't you?
We worked very hard. The first part was very pleasant. Those little vineyards we planted at the beginning were very pleasant, and we learned an enormous amount of things. It was really, really interesting. We even planted clones, very old clones that we had on our property that we discovered walking around. So it was very interesting. It's what came later that required a very, very steep learning curve, the winemaking itself. But my husband bought himself a whole bookstore, and he kept me awake at night reading very, very technical stuff, which I never remember anyway. So.
But then eventually you put a team together.
Yes, we did put a team together.
And we found out about this wine at the 2009 Italian Wine Week event in New York City. And so we were anxious to discover just exactly what was going on in this unusual corner of Tuscany, a Tuscany far away from where most people go, wouldn't you say, Amine?
Well, not anymore. It was like this about 10 years ago, and now it's very much...
Well, it's a tourist destination.
It is becoming a tourist.
But not necessarily a wine fancier's.
Not necessarily target. Wine fanciers. Let's say that it had a vocation for wine 50 years ago that perhaps got disappeared, but now it's turning again, becoming a wine vocation of the terroir.
But you have another 20 years to become as well known as Sasakaya.
Yes, that's what I told you today.
You said you were definitely going to be there.
I definitely hope that I will be there.
Tell us, I started to ask what vines you started with. How many wines do you make now, and what are they?
We make three haut de gamme, top red wines. The Sangiovese, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a Bordeaux blend,
and the pure strain Merlot. Those are the three. And then we have a red wine that is a table wine. Very good. It is made out of the bits and pieces that come out of the barriques and the vats of the greater wine. So it is in itself very good.
I've been actually very impressed with the table wines of this area, because usually they're not much, but they're really quite acceptable.
They are very acceptable, yes. Then we sell a lot of bricks, always with the same systems. We have wines that we prefer not to bottle because perhaps they're not exactly like they should be, but they're very good all the same. They've been good in wood and everything. So we put them in bricks. And people, we never have enough wine to sell to people that way.
When you say bricks, you mean the plastic containers?
Yes.
Bricks. And we discovered bricks, I guess, in the local supermercato just the other evening.
I couldn't believe he was going to buy one.
And they called bricks, and we had a brick, and it was an amazingly good wine.
Yes.
And we loved the price.
The price is very good. I think lots of people love the price. We always have lots of people coming to our winery to buy.
The price beats $2 Chuck. We have a friend in Pittsburgh who gets excited about a California wine called $2 Chuck.
I've heard about that.
A red and a white for a brick.
I couldn't even swallow.
This is a whole lot
better. That's Trader Joe's. I couldn't even swallow that.
But in addition to the red wines, you're also growing white wines, which is somewhat unusual in this part of Italy.
Yes. There was a great tradition at one time. I don't know why it disappeared for about 30 years. It was you couldn't find any white wine from Tuscany, and that was another challenge. We bought the Chardonnay, and we have a very good agronomist to explain exactly how things had to be done. That the exposure had to be in a certain way, the soil had to be in a certain way. And we were very obedient. We accepted everything he said. And we put the Chardonnay on a northern slope, on a northern slope. The Chardonnay...
Northern is to keep it a little cooler.
Yes. Okay. White ones have to be not have too much sunlight. The Riesling is on an eastern slope.
Very nice wine, your Riesling.
Yeah.
And a beautiful label.
Yes, the Riesling is we're very, very pleased with it.
Anne's always looking at the labels in my art background.
I'll show you the painting it came from. So the Chardonnay is a blend because it's 80% Chardonnay and 20% Malvasia Toscana, which we pick slightly unripe because Chardonnay tends to become very fruity very quickly with the sun. The Malvasia is slightly unripe, so it gives it back the little tang of freshness.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Okay.
That is pleasant. And
this is where your winemaker really comes in.
Yes.
Knowing these little tricks.
No, this he studied one night.
He is your husband.
Enzo. No, it's not the winemaker. The winemaker was very, very impressed, I must say. She might have taken the credit for herself, but you remember
Enzo the
circumstance.
Enzo is the one.
It was the one who studied and imagined this. Then we have the Riesling, which is a French Riesling, and that is really a challenge. And I must say that we are selling wine in France, but they won't buy our Riesling. And one day I will have to force them to sit down and taste it.
Well, they won't drink Australian Rieslings either. They just are that way.
I know, but it's such a pity. Anyway, lots of other people drink besides our Riesling, besides the French. We've practically sold all the wine we have this year, which is a good thing. And then we have a table white that is very refreshing, very, very pleasant, and that goes down very well with your food.
And does that come out in a brick too?
No, we have white wine in bricks as well, yes, but not that.
Now, would it be fair to classify your Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon wines as Super Tuscans? Is that what we would describe them as?
I think, yes, they are part of that class of wines. We are interested in making wines that will last in time. And I think the major and the most important component is tradition. Not to go after fashion, but to respect tradition. So we are very careful about the winemaking of these wines. We have a technological winery, but there are lots of things that we want to do, starting with the vineyards themselves in a traditional way.
Evolved is wonderful.
We have all the modern stuff.
Required. We have all the modern stuff required.
Yeah. Yes, you saw the modern.
The vineyard, I mean, the fermenting tank is stainless steel. The
yes.
Intermediate tanks are stainless steel.
And then they temperature control
at the end.
At the end. After the stainless steel, the one goes into wood and then it goes into cement concrete vats, which are wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Very,
so
very
so
good.
So you're using an
yes.
old-fashioned method
yes.
in the maturation
yes,
process
absolutely.
As well. It's really curious. We found that once in Friuli. We were at a vineyard in Friuli where they had installed all these wonderful new stainless steel tanks, and they didn't like the result. So they went back to using the old cement tanks, which had been there for ages. Probably centuries.
For centuries, yes.
Just because the result was so much more satisfactory than what they found.
It's like Mr. Grauner's terracotta. Cement has the same effect. It breathes, and it helps refine the wine beautifully.
Okay. And it breathes in a way you don't entirely understand. But
no,
it
probably.
It just sort of works.
Yes, it does work, definitely.
Now, more things than wine are happening on your vineyard too. You showed us two buildings which were there for a very long time but which became rather derelict.
They
and
are
you,
completely
and you have
derelict.
Plans for those.
Yes, we do have plans for those. That is one of our big projects. When were the houses built, do you remember? In 1747. The two houses were built when the Grand Duke decided that he was going to reclaim the marshlands on the plain, and he needed a place where to send his workers, because otherwise they would get malaria and die like flies. So it was not very healthy, and he built those two houses, which later on became the center of people who went in the forest to make charcoal. Very interesting. One of the best places for mushrooms is a place where they made
and they've left ashes behind.
Yes, they've left ashes behind. And when we look for mushrooms, we usually go and see where those areas where they used to make charcoal.
And that's decades ago.
Centuries ago.
Do you forage for mushrooms there? Do you forage for mushrooms?
Yes, we do. We used to. We less and less now because there's hardly any time. It's a wonderful experience. Really nice. So the two houses were built for that reason, not for mushroom picking, but to keep the workers healthy. And then they were given to farmers, and the whole place was turned into a big farm where lots of families worked. And eventually we bought bits and pieces of it, waiting for people to want to get rid of them.
But what are the plans now?
They're
going to become something new.
They're going to become nice apartment flats, hopefully really very really comfortable, not very Tuscan, not the kind of luxury I dislike, but everything that is needed for a happy vacation. And we're going to rent them. The flats would be around 150 square meters, three bedrooms. And
will you offer those people a vineyard experience as part of that, or just...
Well, they'll be on the vineyards. They won't be able to avoid it, I think.
With all the wild herbs, we saw fennel, we saw a certain kind of mint that you said goes well with
Nebbiolo. Yes, very well.
Well, listeners, this is a label that you're going to want to look out for. The output isn't large, but it's going to be... It's already something special. It's going to become even more special as you keep working on it. So, first of all, what's the name people should be looking at for on the label? There's something else in addition to Pavrikan, I think, isn't there?
Yes, there's my husband's name. I'm one half of the wine farm, and he's the other half.
So it's Pavrikan.
Pavrikan, Papi.
Papi.
Right.
Okay.
Hyphen Papi.
Yes. And the hyphen is not because we are aristocrats. It's just because we're two persons. We had to hyphenate.
So you both wanted to be in it together.
Yes.
Initially,
he wanted me to be to have my name, only my name. But I told him it's not fair because he does a lot of the work. So it's wonderful to have both our names.
And where are people going to be able to find this wine in distribution?
We are building it in Europe, but everything is still on the move. We are building a commercial company that will take care of the wine.
And you have a website.
We have a website, yes.
And what is the address?
Pavrikan.
A dash. Or an
dash.
Okay.
Not an underscore.
A dash. Yes. A dash.
A dash. Papi, it.
Dot IT for it.
Yeah, IT. Right.
Okay. So let's do that first word. It's PAV.
No, PAK.
PAK.
RA.
RA.
VAN.
VAN. Dash.
Dash Papi. Papi.
Look for it on restaurant wine lists, I'm sure, throughout Europe as well. It's a very special wine. You'll be excited if you buy some. Cellar it for a decade or two, and you'll be able to say, I knew this was going to be the next Sasakaya.
Oh, let's hope so. You're very kind.
we're so delighted to have had the opportunity to come and visit with you. We toured the vineyard. It's a lovely spot looking out over the Tyrrhenian Sea, I guess they call it.
Yes.
We pictured sunset, so that'll be on the website. You can see that. You get an idea of how marvelous it will be. And within the next year, you'll be able to visit for yourself if you'd like to. And, of course, at On the Menu Radio, we think that would be a great idea. And when you come, you'll be able to find out the best restaurants to eat at in Vardar.
Good.
You'll be able to find the best places to stay in Vardar and Castiglioncello, where we were staying while we were here. It's just been a delight to have the opportunity to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us on the menu.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.
So we hope you agree. That's a really fascinating story. Two fascinating stories so far, and we're not done yet. But in the meantime, we need to take another break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back, and moving right along here. What's next, Rabbit?
Well, we are obviously we had to have more to eat. yeah. And one of the great things about being in Italy and being out in the countryside in particular is that you get singularly fine recommendations because people know their area very well. So you'll recall last week's interview with Donatella Cinelli Colombini and her the fattoria, the people there knew exactly the places we should go around about. So first evening we were there, we went to a restaurant named after the chef, Walter Redaili, or something like that. Interesting, close by the fattoria, but more interesting than that, close by the Raccorda between Siena and Betoni, which is the name of the town where the restaurant is, and right near the Val di Chiana exit, Uchita, from the Aerostrada. So it's very accessible from every direction. It's a place you can even stay upstairs, and we really enjoy talking to the chef and his translator Massimo. The restaurant named obviously after the chef, and the property along with it you can find from the same website.
We're at a really exciting new place, and we're going to be talking to Walter Redaili, which is a beautiful name, Walter. And we're going to have assistance in translating from Massimo Fringuello. Now, Fringuello è un bird.
È un uccello.
Uccello, sì. But che sort of uccello? What kind of bird?
A particular bird. Very colored.
Colored? It doesn't live here in Toscano.
Sì, sì. Ah, from Tuscany, Umbria.
Ah. Anyhow, the name of the restaurant, Walter, il nome del suo ristorante è?
Il nome del ristorante è Walter Redaili, è il mio nome. Ho dato il nome al...
Ok. And cosa è Relay Leopoldina?
Il relais sarebbe le camere che è una struttura del 1007, la Leopoldina, tipica di questa zona, dove sopra abbiamo ricavato 6 camere e sotto ci sono nelle vecchie stalle dove ci stava la razza chianina, questa mucca molto importante, abbiamo ricavato il ristorante dove esercito io, che si chiama Walter Redaili.
Upstairs is the bed and breakfast relais la Leopoldina. Just 6 rooms with all comfort, and downstairs where live before the cove, white cove, typical from Val di Chiana area, very important for this area.
It's the white cow.
White cow, sorry. It's the restaurant Walter Redaili, small restaurant.
And where are we exactly? Dove?
Siamo in Toscana, in provincia di Siena, e la zona è la Val di Chiana, a Bentole.
We are in Bettolle, in Tuscany. It's between Siena, Rome. It's very close. Just 1 hour and a half. It's we are in Rome.
Yeah, and you say that. Oh, you do. Okay. How old is the restaurant? Quanti anni ha questo ristorante?
Allora, questo ristorante lo ho da 2 anni. Prima ne avevo un altro da 8 anni. E dunque sono 10 anni che faccio, insomma, ristoratore in proprio lavoro.
And is there something very interesting about the history of this restaurant? Cosa è un qualcosa importante, interessante della storia di questo ristorante?
Importante di questo ristorante?
Sì. La storia.
La storia di questo.
La storia.
La storia di questo ristorante, dunque, l'ho scoperto per caso questo stabile nel 2008. Dopodiché, mi è piaciuto tantissimo e ho deciso di fare un ristorante dentro. Dentro qui, perché qui ci stava questa famosa razza chianina, questa carne importante che viene esportata quasi in tutto il mondo. E lì è questa, diciamo, l'importanza. Mi è piaciuto subito, mi sono subito innamorato di questo posto.
Translate.
È difficile.
Massimo, proprio vuole.
The history of this restaurant before, it's very important for the Val di Chiana area, the white
cow.
And Walter, when see this place, it's very love.
He fell in love with the place.
Love this place, and he think this is the place perfect for my restaurant.
Now, let's talk about Walter. You were born in Lake Como, Lago Como. Si?
Lago Como, si.
And Como, how did you come here? Como. Andare qui.
Ah, come sono arrivato qui? Sono arrivato in Toscana per fare un breve periodo. Dopodiché ho conosciuto una bellissima ragazza toscana e mi sono innamorato. E diciamo che ormai sono dall'80, che ormai sono 30 anni che sono qui in Toscana. E l'amore.
Massimo. Tell our listeners in English what he said.
Walter, it's 30 years in Toscana, live in Toscana, because it's l'amour.
Love.
Love.
Yeah, a beautiful Tuscan girl.
She married with a Tuscan girl.
He married her, right?
Yes, he married her. And about 30 years ago, and started work in the round in Locanda dell'Amorosa with the famous chef. Yes, for 17 years.
Really? Work, well, you were you there when we were there?
The 83, the 83, the first. No, ma la prima stella Michelin.
Sì, nell'84.
84, the first Michelin star.
We there.
In Locanda dell'Amorosa.
Now, let's talk about the Walter's cooking style. How would Walter describe his philosophy of cooking?
Ah, il mio stile? Dunque, la cucina che propongo io è una cucina del territorio, è una cucina locale, guardando più che altro la ricerca dei prodotti, dando importanza ai piccoli produttori.
Ah, sì.
E sì, è molto importante anche, vado molto sulla stagionalità dei prodotti.
Sì.
Ogni prodotto viene lavorato secondo la stagione e non usiamo prodotti che non è stagionali, insomma, che non sono del territorio, insomma.
Well, I mean, essentially, listeners, what he said was that he believes in cooking according to the region, seasonally, with good local products. Correct,
yes.
Okay. We have a menu degustazione. Right. Well, we have two menus. With that one. Okay, let's do that one. Walter's menu. Let's go through. Talk to us or to our listeners about some of these items. Descritto.
Descrivo il mio menu, questo che propongo. Sì, aprendo il menu, abbiamo il menu che propongo io. Dei piatti che ho pensato che piacciono a me più che altro. E ho proposto questo menu, l'ho chiamato proprio menu di Walter. Come antipasto, sempre passando sul stagionale, ho proposto un patè di fegatini con purea di pere. Invece di come primo piatto ho proposto i pici, che è proprio un piatto tipico, sì, tipico di qui. Rivisto un attimino perché gli ho messo pane e zafferano, che lo producono qui in Val d'Orcia. E poi l'altro primo ho proposto un risotto, origini lombarde, riso, dunque ho proposto un risotto a tema con la zucca e ho fatto questo, diciamo, questo per stuzzicare un po', diciamo, l'appetito, la curiosità. Aggiungo del pepe per dare il dolce della zucca e il forte del pepe. E come piatto forte ho messo il piccione, perché in Toscana, diciamo, ci sono i piccioni, e l'ho proposto con l'uva. Ora siamo a settembre, periodo dell'uva, della vendemmia, e l'ho proposto con, diciamo, con farcito di uva. E come dessert, molto goloso, ho fatto un dessert molto caldo, perché è un periodo un po' di freddo, un tortino caldo di cioccolato con una lacrima, perché questa è morbida, di gianduia.
Yams, yams. How about translated, Massimo? I mean, I know, but let our listeners know in English what he's producing on this tasting menu.
The tasting menu is the plate the chef suggests, Walter. And suggest this plate because he liked too much.
Okay.
And it's a chicken liver pate. It's typical liver from this area in Tuscany. The people eat the liver. And with the pear sauce and toasted Tuscan bread. The pici, primi piatti, is typical pasta from this area, prepared by the hands. Every day, with a little bit bread crunchy and saffron. Saffron.
Oh, saffron! Ooh,
is okay. Typical from Val d'Orcia area, and this story it's about when lived the Romani. It's very important, and this.
Sounds wonderful with the saffron. Saffron.
It's a small factory and it's very nice. Risotto, because the risotto is from Lombardia, the same area where it's from Walter. With the vernaccia, it's a white wine, typical from Tuscany.
And pumpkin.
And zucco. Pumpkin. And
zucca and black pepper.
Black pepper, because the contrast with the sweet, the pumpkin, and the bitter, the pepper.
Very good.
The for main course, the pigeon.
Yeah, which is typical, very typical, he said. Yes. Yeah.
With the grapes, is the season, and the potato.
With and rosemary, yeah.
And if you want a selection, Italian cheese with mustard prepared in the kitchen, order. Because Walter liked much the chocolate, the warm Tuscan dark chocolate cake with a little bit sauce chocolate inside.
Beautiful. Thank you for the description. E vino, una selezione di vino locale. You do local wines?
Sì, cioè la nostra carta, diciamo, ha 300 etichette, però la guardiamo specialmente sulla Toscana, diamo un'importanza più alla Toscana, per la Toscana, diciamo, da parecchie.
You've got a good selection.
Una grande selezione.
Parlo inglese.
No, non parlo inglese, capisco qualcosa. Però abbiamo anche dei produttori qui, locali vicini, insomma, produttori piccoli che producono dei grandi vini, e cerchiamo di dargli una mano. Infatti qui ho messo l'attesa, ho proposto l'attesa a Montepulciano di un piccolo produttore che produce questo GT molto interessante, diciamo.
Do you want to add to that, Massimo?
I think the Tuscany is very important for the wine. And
oh, yeah.
He's
got great choices.
Yes.
Well, we're looking forward to this. I think you actually are hiding the fact that you speak English, but that's okay.
Che non ho capito che
grazie mille.
Ah, grazie. Niente, grazie a voi. Thank you.
Ciao, grazie.
Arrivederci, salve.
Thank you, grazie.
And now another break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, and then a final dining experience.
We should say last, but by no means least.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was truly wonderful. I didn't hear how the interview actually turned out. You did the editing on this.
Well, it was a little tricky. You'll find some Italian in there, which is simply enough. I think you'll understand it. The owner's sister was on her way to Germany, and she had a bad cold. So I hope I got rid of some of the coughs and the translation from Italian and accomplished that very well indeed. And I think you'll be very interested. And Conte Matto is in the beautiful little walled town of Trequanda, right close to where we were staying. Mm-hmm. And again, very accessible to the Val di Chiana Autostrada exit. So it's a place you're going to want to put on your map. And it'll be a wonderful place in particular to be there during the season when the weather is better than
when we're
there. Yeah,
because there's a beautiful terrace.
Because they have a wonderful outdoor dining section as well as a beautiful indoor dining section. So
but the food was just terrific.
So here's David Arigucci of Conte Matto in Trequanda.
We are having lunch, actually, and doing an interview in Il Conte Matto, which is a restaurant and an uteca. And where are we exactly? We're going to be talking to David Arigucci, who is the Davide, I guess is his name, and with some assistance from his sister Sarah, talking about this restaurant, its history, and its food. Where do we start, Davide? It is not a new restaurant.
Ok, il ristorante nasce nel 1987, dalla famiglia, ovviamente, Arigucci. E niente, noi ci occupiamo di ristorazione da quella data. Da 4 anni e mezzo circa abbiamo cambiato locazione, perché prima eravamo nei locali del castello, trecentesco. Poi purtroppo da lì abbiamo dovuto interrompere la ristorazione per sei mesi e aprire un nuovo locale qui all'interno del ristorante del castello.
The restaurant opened in 1987 and
it was your family.
By my family.
Arigucci.
By family Arigucci's family and until 206 the restaurant was not here, but in another part of the town, in the castle. And in 2006, we have to move here, open a new restaurant here.
So, but it is a better location, migliore.
Yes, sì. Io penso che sia migliore perché l'altro ristorante era un po' buio, diciamo.
Buio.
Dark.
Molto bello, però tipico, però con tanti piccoli problemi.
Little problems, yeah.
Sì. Qui invece abbiamo questa bellissima terrazza.
Ah, yes, indeed, with a great view.
Una bella vista. Tutto a finestra. Quindi
a lot of windows.
Sì.
Great views. Well, that helps,
sì. E poi abbiamo questa piccola corte interna appena si arriva che indica proprio un ambiente chiuso, una locazione secondo me perfetta per anche per fare gli aperitivi durante l'estate.
You can sit out there and have an aperitif?
Sì.
In good weather?
Yes.
Oh, so you use that too. But we should not park there, I remember.
Non so, devi tradurre tu?
Non lo so.
E poi abbiamo praticamente appena abbiamo spostato il ristorante, quindi 4 anni e mezzo fa, abbiamo rinnovato tutto lo staff della cucina. Quindi abbiamo sostituito i vecchi aiuto cuochi con degli chef. La filosofia del ristorante è rimasta la stessa, quindi gestione familiare, cordialità, competenza, il tutto con una basandosi su una cucina espressa e genuina.
The best thing of this new place is the huge terrace with this great view. Yeah. Because in the old place we didn't have such place.
Right. But how about his philosophy of food? I mean, he said they believe being cordial. I mean, good hospitality.
Yeah.
Traditional. Yes. Food, well executed, okay,
genuinità dei prodotti e la cucina espressa al momento. Cuciniamo al momento, non ci sono piatti preparati.
Sì, you do a la menu, they call it in French. You know,
sì.
You prepare to order, and it's fresh, and you use a lot of local producers.
Yes, yes. Molte verdure provengono dalla nostra terra.
Yeah, I got that.
We have a garden.
Oh, here.
Yeah, where we grow vegetables.
Oh, great.
We're cultivating.
Per quanto riguarda il, abbiamo proposte sia tradizionali che rivisitazioni e proposte rinascimentali.
Okay, so your basis is tradition.
Yes.
But you look at them and revise them with a modern attitude.
Yes, and right. Typical. Come si dice?
Handmade, no. Fatta a mano?
Sì, no, delle ricette vecchie, sì.
Ancient recipes?
Del 1500, 1600,
1600,
1700.
Renaissance.
Sì.
Renaissance.
Yes, we offer also.
Yeah, I noticed you had, what is it from Maria, one of the de' Medici's? Is there something?
The lamb chop and the wild boar. Cioè, okay. Il cinghiale e l'agnello sono le proposte che facciamo rinascimento.
Wild boar, ancient recipe with sultanas, raisins, cocoa, pine nuts, candied and red wine vinegar with marinated yellow pumpkin. That sounds good, and that's from the Renaissance. That's that old.
Sì, 1570.
Wow. Oh, lamb. That's where.
Back pork.
That's pork.
Net wrapped lamb chops with honey, lavender, and sweet
radicchio. Red radicchio. Oh, great. So, did you research these recipes?
Allora, la prima, il cinghiale in dolce forte, è una ricetta di Caterina de' Medici.
Sì.
Quindi è famosa.
Però
è molto difficile da fare.
It's very difficult to
sì.
do.
L'agnello invece è una ricetta che usavano prima l'agnello nel lardo.
Lardo, okay, you wrap the lamb chop with
e poi mettevano il miele.
And honey.
Noi abbiamo avuto l'intuizione di associare pepe bianco e lavanda. Pepe bianco e lavanda e sostituire il lardo con la rete del maiale.
So the lardo itself is perfumed with the rosemary.
No,
I meant lavender.
Added lavender and pepper and white pepper. And
so you marinate that.
Il lardo con la rete del maiale.
The fat part, the white fat.
Lardo.
The lardo with the net.
Okay.
With
I
the back pork net.
So you okay?
Yeah.
E poi le ricette tipiche comunque. Siamo a Trequanda. Trequanda è la patria della carne chianina. Quindi ovviamente il ristorante propone. Ovviamente le prime tre portate di secondo sono l'omaggio alla carne chianina, quindi bistecca, tagliata e filetto, le parti. Poi, diciamo per quanto riguarda gli antipasti, Ci piace molto utilizzare tutte le parti povere di qualsiasi cosa, a partire dalle verdure, a partire dagli animali da cortile. Quindi, sì, quindi troveremo sempre la degustazione di crostini negri, di fegati e frattaglie, che noi associamo con le cipolle caramellate.
Caramelized cipollini.
Sì, poi una bella selezione di prosciutti, perché in Toscana il prosciutto è fondamentale, sì, sì. E poi piatti un po' più particolari. Queste sono tre sicurezze. Poi abbiamo messo dei piatti tipici ma rivisitati.
Ok, so it's all authentic and it's typical, local, traditional to this area, but you've revisited it and modernized it all.
Sì. Sì, right. Perché devono essere, noi vogliamo sempre dei piatti sicuri, tradizionali, e poi dei piatti tradizionali rivisitati, okay, per uscire dallo standard,
you could
insomma.
Get the traditional as it is,
okay,
and you could...
Italian is so clear, I can almost understand.
Per quanto riguarda i primi piatti, non potrà mai mancare la ribollita, che è il nostro... simbolo, insomma, della toscanità. La ribollita è il piatto simbolo della Toscana. The bread, soup, bread and vegetable soup. Sì. E poi la pasta è tutta fatta in casa, totalmente. Ogni giorno viene preparata fresca e i sughi, il ragù, tutto preparato fresco.
Everything's prepared fresh. The every day they make the pasta in house.
Quindi le verdure provengono dalla nostra terra. Sì, poi la carne è tutta del luogo, sia di maiale che di cinghiale, quindi cacciagione, sia vitello, è tutto di Trequanda, aziende locali.
And Trequanda is, listeners, where we are. So when he's talking about this coming from Trequanda, he's talking about it's coming just down the street, because that's the region that this restaurant is in. I thought we should give our listeners the email or the website so that they can actually check out this. It's www.contemato.it, and you can come here and have a meal. You can order and take away. You can have home delivery if you want. You can actually take rooms here. You cover about all the ground here. And you get to play with his darling son as well. Bambino, see?
Sì, ci sono due e quattro.
And they also, if you're here on business, they also have diners with having a fixed price menu or tasting, fast and light lunches. So it's a place that has almost everything for everybody or something for everybody, right? We, yes. It was wonderful talking to you, David, and Ancola, Sarah.
Sarah.
Here, Peter.
And we say farewell to Sarah, because Sarah is going to Hanover, Germany, leaving next week for a 6-month visit. We wish her good luck in an internship in hospitality. And I'm guessing, that Sarah, that you will be returning to this property, and you will take it to even greater heights.
And now to lunch.
So, listeners, that's all for another week of On the Menu Radio. We'll look forward to seeing you same time, same place again next week when we're not quite finished with Toscana. We have a recommended place to stay for you, and a place that you can dine and have fun as well. And in the meantime, between now and then,
bye-bye.